This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Results so far on this poll that basically is inspiration of Chris Canty just asking us a very simple question. Pumpkin pie in the lead right now after 421 votes, 66-37%. Okay.
See, I bet you if we get Detroit, Atlanta, and Philly to weigh in, sweet potato pie skyrocket to the top.
I want to recount.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude. Sorry. As we're waiting for Jay Will, and just Anthony, he just texted me saying that he's been calling in. So one way or another, either we got to get we'll get that figured out.
There's a lot going on in our new state.
There's a lot going on. There's no question about it. We'll get to a lot of NBA with him because we haven't talked to him since all this stuff is going on. The draft, some trades, free agency. A lot has happened since the last time we talked with Jay. But did you see the that post that I put up on Twitter? Of course not. Of a guy who went into a pond. Apparently,
a
gator took his puppy underwater.
But
he goes in, he grabs the alligator, pulls its mouth open, saves the puppy. And he has a cigar in his mouth. The cigar never moves.
Yeah, what a hero. He reminds me of the black mechanic.
What a hero.
No, he reminds me of the black mechanic. They'd be out there like, man, what are we going to do, man? Tommy Billy Rich, man. That thing be hanging out. You're like, how the hell? Like,
what kind of spit? The cigarette that never falls off the lip?
Yeah, never moves. It's like, what kind of spit, glue, Elmer's glue, do he got stuck to the bottom of his lip? And it's like the tip. It's like the very end of it. Like the little
You're a dog owner like I am, like John is, like Earl's. That to me, that's protocol.
I know,
Jay Will joins us right now.
Yeah,
are you a dog owner?
Wait, I heard Bart mention a black mechanic. I thought he was referencing the first black all referee crew.
Monday Night Football.
That was hot, man.
I can't wait till that becomes not a thing anymore because it's
everybody's
routine.
Like, oh yeah, the NFL deserves an applaud. I'm like,
no,
really? 2020, they're just doing this now.
But it's all good. But you are better late than never, though. But what we're talking about, you know, we've all had that. You know, you're from what? Where are you from? You from Plainfield?
I'm from Jersey, man. You know where I'm from.
I know. That's why I said Plainfield. No. I know specifically where you're from.
He wants
I'm talking about you from like Plainfield, right? Because I know people that the legend.
Drop a pin.
Like come around. It's like around Plainfield, South Plainfield, somewhere like that, right? You know those black mechanics that had that Newport Cool Menthol 100s sitting at the end of their lip, and it seemed like it's stuck, and no matter, and they talking to you. You know what? Right here, you got your respirator slash gas right here going on. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We got to fix that up. Don't worry, man. If you take it to the shop, they're gonna charge you $5,000. Just give me $5. And buy me some lotto tickets. I'll fix it up for you. Go get me a hanger, some duct tape, and some lard. You're like, what?
Give me some flex tape.
Maybe have
some
home
tape.
Recipe, some ways to fix the car.
So now we're talking about the guy that do
come
with the guy.
Just buy some toothpaste on that, and they'll get you at least 10 miles an hour.
That's it, right? So I'll take the governor off, too, while we're here.
So we're talking about the man that went and got and saved his dog because an alligator took him down. Now, when I first heard the story, I'm like, wow, man, this is crazy. When I looked at the size of the alligator, man, come on,
shut
man.
Up.
That gator was like 10 pounds.
You know how strong those jaws are?
I would have made that alligator my damn coat. I would have made a Birkin bag for my wife out of that alligator, that little-ass alligator, man. I'm thinking like, oh, this dude crazy. Man, he picked the dog and the alligator up at the same time. There ain't no alligator. That's an alligator baby.
I don't care. That's protocol. When you're a dog owner, it's protocol. I don't know if, Jay, do you own a dog?
I do. I'm actually looking up. Oh, is this the Florida man who saved this puppy from an alligator dog?
Yeah, look how little that damn alligator is. He picked a dog and an alligator up at the same time on the water.
Like he didn't
that
go underwater
you,
to get it.
But that tell yeah, but listen,
he
I
came
wanted,
out and the cigar was still in his mouth.
I wanted to be a 250-pound alligator. He go get it at, and he come back looking like the dude off Happy Gilmore with no hand, but he sacrificed it for his poodle doodle. I want him to look like Apollo Creed. I want him to look like Apollo Creed because I always call him by the best character. I never know an actor's real name. I call him by the best character I know
Carl
about.
Weathers.
No, forget that. Apollo Creed or Action Jackson is his name for me.
Or that.
Oh, wait. He's really... Oh, that's a baby. Oh, that's still a
girl. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's misleading.
Downplay the heroism.
It's misleading.
How dare you both?
It's like, hey, man,
most people would panic, would freak out, wouldn't know what to do.
It's like my
they would probably get a stick. No. You get in there and you save your puppy. That's what you do as a dog owner, and that's what I would have done. Same damn thing.
Here's where we are in a PC world about puppies, though. Before you even get to the video, it says graphic content warning. The following video contains thousands of images of animals. animal in distress.
Right. Yeah. It's a aging, advanced man and picking up a 5-pound alligator.
Be careful, Bart. Be careful. We know you're a habitual line stepper. Be careful now.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. I'm gonna stay on this side because I don't want to get fired before Christmas. I got to try and buy an Xbox for my son.
You can't get fired because I'm riding your coattails.
Oh, let's do it.
You're Seabiscuit, baby.
Let's go.
We all know this.
Hey, Jay Weezy.
So,
we haven't talked to you in a minute. We've had a lot of stuff happen, man, and Allen's been trying to Da Vinci code it to me because I'm trying to figure out why the Knicks can't get anybody. We got all these gadgets. I see Cousins going
down to Houston.
I see Boogie going down there. Are they finally, that's their big man. That's their remedy to Capella.
Please.
They're going down there. Is that enough to keep Westbrook or Harden? Is it still happening? What is the weather report on everything that we saw and you saw during the draft and all these free agent moves? What's going on, man? Explain to the people.
Well, for the Knicks, the weather report is stable condition. Just keep it mild, fair weather for the time being. Like I'm actually, I didn't want them to do a sign and trade or to attain Russell Westbrook. I didn't want that to go down. I actually like the fact that, look, Nerlens Noel and Alfred Payton, it's not going to make a huge difference, right? But like them flipping for draft capital at the trade deadline, like that was big. I think them getting Austin Rivers, I probably wouldn't sign them to that type of money, but you do have money to spend, right? Because what they have in order to get free agents moving forward, like I think it helps stabilize the PG spot for RJ and for Obi Toppin. I like the draft pick. I like the fact that they're just staying status quo for the time being and waiting for the right free agent to come on board, which obviously, look, next year's draft and next year's free agency class is way different than what we just saw this year. So I actually like the move that the New York Knicks make because they didn't make too many moves. You know what I'm saying?
Right, it's their moves, and it's funny how people are reacting almost in a funny way about it, saying, "Wow, the Knicks are making very just kind of simple stability type moves here." Like it's like if you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Okay, when's the insane, you know, 4-year, $120 million contract to Gordon Hayward going to happen? And it didn't. But
yeah, just let Michael Jordan do that, Alan.
Yeah, exactly. Charlotte did it, but that's the thing. But you know what? Again, fans always want the splash. They want that wave the magic wand. And suddenly, you know, all your fortunes have changed, and now you're going to be a legit team. And unfortunately, no, you've got to earn this. It's going to take some time. But I'll tell you what, how about Ed Davis turning into 3 second-round picks? put him up in the rafters. That might be the most contribution a Knick player has made since Melo left.
I was just on the phone with Minnesota. They're like, we were talking about, you know, what do you think about Anthony Edwards? And, you know, I'm like, well, the question is, who do you surround them with in order to help that young core mold into the big three that you ultimately hope they can be? Because it's a very young core, right? Like Carl Anthony Towns has gone through a lot this past year. D'Lo has had a history. We all know what that has been like with the Lakers and then come to Brooklyn even before he started to make some moves actually as an all-star. And then you had Anthony Edwards that, you know, people were questioning whether they loved the game or not. Like, well, we got Ed Davis. You know, he can help. I'm like, are you saying Ed Davis and Ricky Rubio are going to mold the big three into the future big three? Like, I love Ed Davis. It's my boy. I watched him since North Carolina.
Yeah.
But that's not the answer. And by the way, you guys got held for ransom. Like, 3 picks for that? Like, that's what you guys gave up? Like, that's a win for the Knicks.
And Ricky Rubio never turned out to be the player that we thought. Remember all the hoopla about
Ricky Rubio, top 10 pick, yeah.
And just never, he's just a solid guy, never developed a shot.
Well,
when you can't shoot, you know, you can't play.
We need to reset expectations, Alan, because just because the guys are top 10 doesn't mean that they're going to be saviors. Like, there's so many draft classes, man, where it's like guys are top 10 by default. I think we need to start calling that for where it is. Like, after, like, don't get me wrong, there were some steals in the draft. But, like, you know, if you had the first top 3 picks in the draft, you're like, okay, after that, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, all right, find the value. Like, now, Tyrese Haliburton, Obi Toppin, find it.
Especially this draft, right? Like that. Like that's the thing. And I'm crazy enough to have gone back before the draft started. I went back to the last 10 drafts, and I did. I checked it out. The top 10 picks in the last 10 drafts, under 40% made all rookie.
Wow.
Under 30% became an all-star at least one time.
Wow.
So you,
wow.
Basically, that's it. It's 30% chance you get an all-star. out of the top 10, and yet we're in this world of got to get a high pick, and you know,
that's because we see the top three, that we see the three that actually make it, so we forget. We see Jerry Rice play 20 years, we assume that football players have long careers, and you forget that most of them only last 2.5 because you see the Emmitt Smiths, you see the Tom Brady's.
I know
I have a question for Jay Weezy. So the Knicks are being patient, and we applaud them for looking like a functional organization. Maybe that makes some guys say, hey, maybe things are changing. But the longer that Russell Westbrook is on the Rockets, that price is going to continue to drop. So is it maybe something that happens during the trade deadline where you can get him? Or at what point where it's the law of diminished returns where they say, well, you know what, we know that we're going to be moving on from these guys. They're not happy. Let's see if we can get them out of here. You know, the chemistry is bad. The vibe in the place is bad. They're not respecting Silas. They're not respecting.
Yeah, Stephen Silas. Yeah.
So they're not respecting them. It's creating a bad culture for us. Let's just move them. Let's just get. We thought it would work. We thought if we just kept them together, we show the direction they play with each other, they can see that they had a chance. But they're not changing their minds. Harden wants out. Westbrook wants out. The Knicks are the only one that maybe want to absorb some of this contract. And maybe it's not as bad. You know, if you get them for 2 years, that third year doesn't seem as bad. If it's only 2.5 years and Houston absorbs some of that contract,
Bart.
And they take Julius Randle. What if they take Julius?
No.
Like problem.
I'm gonna hold tight on this one, and then Alan, I want to go back to revisit point. Like, if I have a young team, if I have guys like Obi Toppin, RJ Barrett, who I surround them with, it's very, very important. Like Austin Rivers, like I've known Austin for a while. Like he'll be a good locker room guy. He'll be a good battle tested guy. And the ball can still move. It allows your young pieces to flourish. I don't know if I want to bring Russell Westbrook in because of the way he dominates the ball. Mm-hmm. And Alan, back to your point about the draft, mm-hmm. just very quickly, like this is the problem with the draft. Remember back in the day, Alan, when you had like guys like Big Dog Glenn Robinson coming in, you had guys like Grant Hill that signed these multi-million dollar deals, like $100 million deals.
Yeah.
Ever since they created the weighted scale, like, everybody can come out for the draft now because you're locked in. You know, if you go 14, you're going to get paid X amount of millions, whereas that drop-off was massive if you weren't, like, a top four, top five pick because teams determine what your value was right out of the gate.
Yeah, I agree with you that things really did change with the draft. The draft changed a lot in the very late 90s and then in the 2000s, and I do think it's, you know, they went back and forth with the high school thing, you know, because you had the occasional. I mean, for every Kobe, you know, there was a Jonathan Bender, right? Like that, like you just there was one guy that was a superstar, the other guy that just wasn't ready. He should have never come out of high. Who was the kid from Seattle too?
Swift, right? Was it Swift?
No. Yeah, Robert Swift. No reason he should have come out, but because the team said, yeah, we'll take you. You know, it just that so the draft just started to lose what it originally was, which was a way you could build your team. And also, you know this, guys are coming out. Instead of back in the 80s and early 90s when guys were coming, like Larry Johnson played 4 years of college basketball. I want to ask you about the Lakers and how they retooled thanks to Rich Paul, but instead I want to ask you about the Bucks and how they didn't. And if you think, does Giannis now have a lot more to think about today than he did a week ago?
You're damn right he does.
Yeah.
I love your Rich Paul line before that as well.
I'd love to give Pelinka credit, but we know.
Yeah, we all know. And you and I were going back and forth about this via text. So here's what's really interesting to me. Okay, so the Bucks don't find a way to land Bogdanović. Like that lineup between Bogdanović, Jrue Holiday, Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton, and Giannis. James Harden doesn't come to East. Like they could win the East. Like they're NBA Finals mm-hmm. and have a like, you know. Granted, the way the Lakers are just stocked up, I still don't think they have a chance against the Lakers. But still. Win the East, it would be battle against Kevin Durant and Kyrie if they're able to get there. Or Boston. Boston's a whole other issue because Danny Ainge did not get it done
again,
in free agency.
All those picks.
Yeah, all those picks, man. For that, that's what you got in return? Anyway, I digress. Like, one of the things about the Bucks, like, you don't get Bogdanović, and now you find yourself saying, well, you know, did we do enough actually to get better when you're trying to get Giannis to sign the Supermax to stay committed? And if I'm Giannis, I'm sitting there saying, hey, I'm trying to look at my options. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You know, Bam Adebayo and Giannis are really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're both represented by the same agent.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Lattice is the one who's kind of handling all this based out of Chicago. And Bam is the only, like, it seems like premier player left out of, like, that draft class with Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell and all these guys, De'Aaron Fox. All these guys have gotten their rookie contracts extended, right? Like, Jason Tatum, $150 million. Right. Donovan Mitchell, $100-plus million. De'Aaron Fox, $100-plus million. And Bam is sitting there saying, how come you guys don't want to sign me? And Miami's sitting there saying, well, we can't sign you now because then we won't have enough cap space to go out and get Giannis next year. And they're in quite the conundrum. So it's and the Mavs are making moves. Masai Ujiri is making moves for Toronto. So you have some teams that are jockeying for cap space in order to land Giannis because at the end of the day, John Horst, and I love Milwaukee, and we'll see what they're able to kind of, you know, pull out of this whole thing. But, I mean, if they had the Bogdanovich deal, if that deal had gone done, that's, I think, different. You're looking at Giannis signing and that deal being sealed, dealed, and delivered.
And the fact that it does seem like there's some tampering happening there, because that was obviously announced well before. And, you know, that's one of those, whoever leaked it made a huge mistake, or maybe somebody leaked it so it wouldn't happen. You don't know how that stuff works, but it makes them look bad. And you're right, though. If you're Giannis, now all of a sudden you're wondering, am I going to go to war with this crew when I see what Brooklyn's got for the next couple of years? And I see that Atlanta is trying to load up as much as they possibly can to be more competitive. We know what Miami can do, and we know what Boston has. And so, you know, do I really want to get in on this? Like, or do I want to, am I going to lock in here and wonder if I can win or not? So it suddenly makes that conversation. And you're right. Everybody now becomes the buzzard. Everybody's now circling, just waiting, setting up for that chance to grab him. And of course, there is that other team in New York that has a ton of cap space and flexibility that I'm sure would try to stay aggressive in it, even though I don't see it, but you still stay aggressive in it. No question about it. I found that interesting. So, all right, how about the Lakers now? Do you find it interesting how they were able to get Montrezl Harrell for pennies on the dollar?
Two.
Sixth man of the year. And you get him for, I mean, like, Jeremy Grant got 3 years at 60. And he took two at 19?
I don't know how things are getting done. But we all know how things are getting done.
We know.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Look, man, I mean, there's a billboard in L.A. where it's like Mantra saying, you know, F the Clippers. Like, and it's like a joking billboard around. But if you're sitting there and Patrick Beverley is like, what the hell is going on? Like, we got pulled for somebody that was on our roster to the same team in the same building. What the hell is going on? And then Dennis Schroeder goes out to L.A. too. Now, I do think losing Rajon Rondo, you know, makes the Hawks somewhat in contention to make the playoffs in the East.
Agreed.
As a 7 or 8 seed. I love that pickup for them in Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be the one caveat. But, I mean, they're essentially upgraded at every position. I mean, Dennis Schroeder got Sixth Man of the Year. The guy can score with the best of them. He was he was one of the main bucket getters for OKC throughout this whole year, him and CP3 and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You combine that with, you know, the shooting of Wesley Matthews. Are you kidding me? Like,
Gasol gives you a high IQ big that you didn't have in the past. Now, he's not as athletic, obviously, as the two guys you lose, but I do think Gasol, you know, does give them a different element now at center, and he can make threes, which does at least space the floor.
So tell me
agree.
This.
And by the way, Danny Green was out there barely being able to run, Alan.
Yeah.
Like, you saw that, like, yep. You get some upgrades around that. Now you're faster. Now you can shoot the ball better. Mm-hmm. And now you're bigger with more depth. And now you actually have guys that can go get you buckets. And you re-sign KCP.
Mm-hmm. Back to back.
And you re-sign KCP.
Mm-hmm. So tell me this, then, who slides into that second spot? Because we assumed that it was going to be the Clippers that slide into that, still in that second spot as far as second best team in the West. Does that mean that maybe the Nuggets and Porter maybe getting better as a player and Bobo next year being more involved? Does that make them the number two team in
the
West?
Or does that make Dallas?
Is it Dallas?
Great question, Bart.
Who is it? Who's number two?
I think you're exactly right, Alan. That's the biggest question mark. I mean, I do like the moves that Portland was able to make. I think re-signing Rodney Hood, getting Derek Jones Jr., you know, getting some depth in his canter. I mean, I do like some of their moves to get back into the pocket. But ultimately, it feels like the 2021 trophy is done.
See, but that's why I'm hoping. That's why I'm hoping. The only thing, because I don't want to see a basketball season where I see LeBrick win another title back-to-back and he's not checked, right? So if he gets to load up, that's why I really want to see on the East Coast, I want Harden to the Nets so we can have that clash to the Titans.
All
because
right.
I think Kawhi isn't LeBron's kryptonite. I think KD's LeBron's kryptonite.
I agree.
He
so
needs
Jay,
to have some superheroes with him in Ender's Game. I want to see Ender's Game where we end the reign of LeBrick.
So Jay, just yes or no, will this season end with James Harden still in Houston?
Hell no.
Okay, yes or no, will it be Brooklyn?
Come on, Jay.
If you had to give a yes or no.
There's a high probability of that.
Ooh.
I think there's a high probability. Now,
wow.
Will Brooklyn fleece enough? Like, Houston's going to have a really interesting situation for Rafael Stone. How long can you hold on to a begruntled employee, right, who's a star, who is going to have the microphone in their face after? Like, you guys know how we love to do this. Like, it's like watching, like, who's a good, it's like watching Adam Gase every post-presser, right? It's like watching Matt Nagy every post-presser. Like, that's what's going to feel for Steven Silas. Like,
85, too.
James Harden is going to be open and be critical about he doesn't want to be there. And when your star player is going to be doing that, you as a franchise, if he starts doing that, teams are going to say, well, he doesn't want to be there. Like, it's going to make you lose the value in what you get in return because teams know that your star player doesn't want to be there. And you can't hold him hostage for how long can you do that for?
Yeah, and talk about miserable personalities. You know, guys that really can take misery and just and emote it better than anyone. I mean, Russ always looks perpetually mad. And James is like, I always say, he's mumble rap. I mean, he's just, you know, that's what he is. So these two guys can really make things miserable around there. And, of course, then shows up Boogie, who is always happy. So that's going to be a real interesting place to be. All right, before we let you go, Jay.
It's almost like Doug Peterson, man, right? Every time you see him go up to the podium after Carson Wentz loses, right? It's like, whoa, when are you going to play Joe? When are you going to play Jalen Hurts? That's exactly what it's going to be like for Coach Silas and Rafael.
Yeah, that's a great. All right, before we let you go, again, Thanksgiving this week, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Chris Canty started this debate. It might be a cultural thing, and I'm not afraid of it because I feel like I blend into all cultures. I don't have like these walls up like some people do, but I do stand on one side of this argument.
Okay.
So, which is better, sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie?
Sweet potato pie. It's not even a question.
Thank you. We're going to send Alex some patty pies. We're going to send some patty pies.
Sweet potato.
Alan, have you had the right kind of sweet potato pie?
He has.
Apparently, I have not.
Because you ain't had no nutmeg.
You need to come to
Bart's
house or my house.
Yeah, get some nutmeg in your stuff, too. Nutmeg and cinnamon is into that plate.
I love sweet potato.
Oh, man. That's not even a question, Alan.
Well, according to the poll we have going up right now, almost 600 votes, 64% say pumpkin.
I told them to poll Detroit. Plainsville, Atlanta.
You're saying our demo is not.
Yeah, your demographic.
Demo. Don't want to hear that. Don't believe the hype.
I just say this.
Sweet
potatoes are not dessert. Potatoes aren't dessert.
What the hell is a pumpkin? What is
sweet
a pumpkin?
Sweet potato
what
is a pumpkin? Fries, and they're delicious
That's
as fries.
Island. You call them sweet potato. We call them candy yams.
Yes.
That's what I need to put you on.
Exactly. Put that
you say candy yams. Candy yam now, that sounds like dessert. I could get into that.
Sweet potato.
That's a sweet potato.
I did not know
what
this.
About?
I didn't know this.
From Mother Earth, from Africa.
Why does it
yams.
Have to be?
You're a fool.
Jay, we appreciate you as always, man. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. You too. Candy yams, Alan. Try them.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.